It's time to watch The Muppets with special guest Johnny Cash.
Master of Disguise on 9/11, and Dana Carvey called for a moment of silence. They had the moment of silence, and then they resumed filming, and he did the turtle, turtle scene. That's real. You can look that up.
I don't even know what to say. That I can't believe that that happened.
Yeah.
Dana Carvey's like, you're not this movie away from me.
I know.
Not even you.
If we stop making disguise, the terrorists win, right?
Exactly. See like a spy. Like a spy. Spy. I'm trying to. Love.
Yeah.
An adventure comedy film.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Directed by productioner Perry Andelin Blake.
Perry. The only famous Perry that I can think of, Perry Gilpin, who of course plays Roz on Frasier. I gotta take this hoodie off. Whatever this is, sweatshirt.
It doesn't say anything about how the movie did, so I'm assuming this movie didn't do great.
I think it was a tank. I think that, like, Dana Carvey was so
funny.
Oh,
it was initially developed with Jim Carrey in mind.
Fuck off.
Yeah?
That would make sense, maybe. Dana Carvey, though, like, Dana Carvey was so funny and, like, so beloved, and then,
he turned it down, and then Sandler, resulting in Sandler colleague Dana Carvey getting cast.
Sandler colleague Dana Carvey?
Yeah, that's how they put it in this Wikipedia.
That is not Sandler's colleague. That is Mike Myers' colleague.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Why is that Adam Sandler's colleague?
Wow, that's terrible.
You mean the Sandman? That's not his colleague.
No! You know who's the Sandman's colleague? Schneider.
Definitely Rob Kevin Schneider.
Kevin James.
It's me, Jessica.
I would eat Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Chris Rock is Chris Rock, actually. Mm-hmm. You know what? No. Chris Rock is Chris Rock.
Chris Rock is his own fucking colleague.
Chris Rock is his colleague. Yeah.
He works alone.
Hi, Meg.
Hi, Doug. We should stop looking at this Master of Disguise.
Don't look up anything further. Meg, how are you?
I'm good.
Are you excited to talk about the Muppets?
No, I definitely am excited to talk about this episode.
We watched the Muppets. We watched episode 521, Johnny Cash, airing in the UK on February 1st, 1981, and in the US on February 14th, 1981.
Okay, he was born J.R. Cash. Like,
oh, my God. I was like, please, Megan, don't be talking about the Master of Disguise.
No, I'm not. I'm done with it. Turtle, turtle. That's it. That's all I got.
Dude, I really loved this episode. I think Johnny Cash was great.
Okay,
I've never seen him in this kind of
situation. He was like friendly and fun.
Right?
His voice is
an outlaw Western singer, right? Like he's supposed to be, he's the man in black.
He was fun. He was fun with the Muppets. I believed him with the Muppets.
My God. Yes. And like, I don't know, just all around a great, 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 great guest host. I was a little skeptical about this. I like Johnny Cash well enough. I did see Johnny Cash's movie Walk the Line starring Joaquin Phoenix in theaters twice as a child.
Okay.
Twice.
Why did you just say Walking Phoenix's movie?
Joaquin Phoenix. Is that not his movie?
Also, Reese Witherspoon is in that movie.
It's Reese Witherspoon's movie as well.
Yeah, there you go.
She was really good in that
movie. You always forget the woman. I saw it in the movie theater.
You saw Walk the Line in the theater also.
Yeah, and I was like way too... I remember like... We got there late, so we had to sit way too close,
barf.
I hate that.
Thank God that those days are over.
You could just pick a seat?
Yeah, you buy J10, and you sit in J10, and you show up during the last trailer, you sit the fuck down in your seat, and you enjoy the movie.
It's so funny, because my girlfriend, every time I pick a seat in the back, she's like, that's too far. And then as we're walking up the stairs, I'll show her the row that she had wanted to sit in. She's like... Oh, that's really close. I'm like, yes. This is why you let me pick the movie seats.
Because you're the perception that you have is only so much.
How many times have you been to the movies? Like, pick the right seats. The back is better.
The back is the best seats.
Mm-hmm. Or like one to two up from the back is fine too. But Johnny Cash.
I was gonna say we're like dancing around talking about Johnny Cash.
No, but he's so good.
Let's get things started.
Why don't you get me started? June Carter. falls in love, Walk the Line. Does it have a happy ending?
Walk the Line?
I can't remember.
I think it does ultimately have a happy ending, that June and Johnny are married in a fever hotter than a pepper sprout.
Mm-hmm.
Rain, is it? They get married in Jackson.
You're the one who's seen it 5 times.
I've seen it twice in theaters. Okay.
Folsom State Prison. Oh, yeah.
That's where he plays that concert, mm-hmm. and all that. Gives the finger.
He's so
everyone
cool.
loves it. He is very cool, honestly.
He's like Blondie level.
He is one Frankenstein looking motherfucker, though. In this cold open, he looks like he could be playing Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
I think it's because the Muppets are so short, and apparently, how tall is Johnny Cash?
And Joaquin Phoenix looks very handsome.
Joaquin.
Joaquin. Leaf? Phoenix?
We did this last week, didn't we?
Same person.
Yeah, Leaf.
Different name.
Do not dead name the Phoenixes. Oh, God. Are you looking up how tall Johnny Cash is?
How tall?
Yeah.
No.
Cold open. Pops tries to get reception on an old radio, and he thinks he hears Johnny Cash, who is actually standing right next to him.
How about that? Johnny Cash is on the radio.
I'm not on the radio.
What? I can't hear you.
Why don't you turn the volume up?
Oh, okay.
Can you hear better now?
Yeah. It's like he's right here in the room with me.
Johnny Cash, how tall?
Why do you want to know how tall he is?
Because he's 6'2". He looks really tall in this picture up against Pops.
That's because people used to be short back then. Jim is probably taller than him, though, right? Jim is like 6'5". I'm just kidding. I'm going to look up Jim Henson height.
Jim Henson, how tall?
How tall? 6'3". He's got 1 inch on him.
He just looks really tall in this picture. And I love this expression that he made after Pops. Like, what did Pops do? He, like, blows out his eardrum or something with the radio. And he's just like, ha! I don't know.
Pops, I'm done with you. I just have to say.
I'm still very done with Pops. And who are you? That was a dead-on Pops impression.
That was a great...
Who are you?
If I had the clap button, I would clap. Seriously, it's a great impression.
You literally have one job. A human man is walking through your door. Look on your register, and it should say, blah, blah, blah is the guest of the show this week. So this human man just walked in your door. The fuck do you think that is,
Pops?
Say
human man again.
A human man.
But he's also, like, a very cool human man. And yeah. I have to say, like I said, he's, like, Blondie cool to me in that way. Mm-hmm. But he's not wearing, like, a tracksuit like she was in her episode, which I don't understand. I still don't understand why she wore a tracksuit.
I think she looked cool,
She looked so cool.
Uh-huh.
But why?
I don't know. He comes in like a little dressed down. He's wearing this like just
denim
shirt.
Have you ever worn track? I guess Blondie's thighs probably don't touch, but my thighs do.
I need to tell you, I watched the Wendy Williams documentaries the other day, and she is like rail thin because all she at one point in the documentary is doing is just drinking alcohol. And she stands up and she starts crying. She goes, look at this thigh gap. Look at how good I look. And she's like emaciated. She looks terrible. And it's just so sad that she looks at herself in the mirror and she's like, look at how good I, and she goes, look, she's like, my legs are so close together. And look, there's a gap.
Aww. So,
yeah. That documentary is rough.
I feel that though. Hey, when you wear that, it's like that swoosh.
Oh, I've worn corduroy pants before. I know sounds. I know leg sounds. During the Muppet Show theme, a duck bites Gonzo on his nose.
He loved it.
He did love it.
He fucking loved it. This duck kind of looks like storkish to me.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely say storkish.
But Gonzo, I think that we're watching porn right now. Is that like he got a nose job by
the duck?
This
is a little personal, huh? Like, okay.
It looks like it's like Brown Bunny. Do you know about Brown Bunny the movie?
Don't tell me about Brown Bunny the movie, please.
Can I please?
Go ahead.
Chloe Savini literally gives Vincent Gallo a beej. They were dating at the time, but like he got to film it.
What a weird like,
what a creepo that he did that.
Yeah, and then released it.
And it's a very slow movie too.
Is it?
The Brown Bunny. He like has fan. He's like he drives his car. I think he's like a race car driver, and he has to like drive his car around back across the country, and like he has fantasies of his like ex-girlfriend or something. I don't remember the movie. I of course love creepy men, so Vincent Gallo was like a babe to me, but he's like crazy looking. I don't know why I like guys like this. This is why I'm a lesbian, because this is my type of guy. It's like my inner projection. Anyway, why did I bring up the bad bunny? The brown bunny? Bad bunny.
Bad bunny. Bad bunny. Bad bunny.
Bad bunny's a different thing.
Yep. All right, so now during the opening bit,
announces... Gonzo got a beej. I mean, a nose job.
Because we had to watch Gonzo be...
filleted by a duck.
Yeah. Very intimately in the big O of the Muppet Show.
Okay, let's get to it.
Kermit announces that the show is going to be broadcast live over radio station WHOG and is immediately surrounded by the backing singers. He also meets stagehand Billy Boy. So Billy Boy is like very obviously this scary looking motherfucker's scooter.
I love Billy Boy.
Billy Boy is very cool.
On top of it.
He looks like Chucky Finster.
He's also less fumbly than Scooter. Mm-hmm. Wait, is he? I don't know. The next episode... I won't spoils, but it maybe has changed my mind on Scooter officially.
Oh.
But I'll get to that next week.
What that means. I like the idea for a little while of this radio station kind of invading until it became apparent that the radio station was completely invading. And I feel like this storyline would have been so much better utilized during the Carol Burnett Show episode like we did. We had pitched that the Carol Burnett should have arrived at the Muppet Show and said no. We'll just do
the Carol Burnett.
I'm
going to
be in charge of this. Yeah. We'll do the show my way.
I'm taking over.
And I really think they should have done that for that episode and not for this episode. In this episode, they're fully invaded by this WHOG radio station and this creepy dude. I cannot stand this big, tiny, tall saddle.
Well, this is very. There's this play it's a musical I saw a long time ago. It's called Memphis, and it was basically like. This, like a radio show situation, okay. Meets Hairspray.
Really?
But not as good as Hairspray. But this is what it reminded me of. Like, this whole thing where you have the radio show and the live performance. I mean, it's very of a time.
Yeah.
Why do I feel like it's very, like, 1950s? Is Johnny Cash a 1950s popular guy? I thought he was popular in the 60s.
I think he's 60s, 70s.
I guess 1954... His first wife, Vivian.
But that's what a lot of this nostalgia is. You're right. So if this feels like a very 50s thing to you, that's because that's what they're accidentally hearkening back to. You know, that weird nostalgia.
They're definitely hearkening back to that nostalgia. You know,
that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
For our opening number, a group of hillbillies sing The Martins and the Coys. But the song ends abruptly with a violent gunfight.
Wait, the Martins and the Coys, that's a historical, that's like a trope, right?
The Martins and the Coys. The two titular families sing a ballad about the Martins and the Coys as the opening number of episode 521 of The Muppet Show. A hillbilly, played by Dave Goles, then shoots at the families from Statler and Waldorf's box. Waldorf asks if he was a Martin or a Coy. The hillbilly responds, he was neither, for he was a music lover. The classic song about feuding families was the basis for Alan Lomax's ballad opera of the same title in 1944.
Yes.
It was also adapted by Disney for a segment in their 1946 film Make Mine Music, although it has been edited from recent commercial releases.
Oh my God. And then click on Muppets. What is it? The country music with the Muppets.
From 1985.
Okay. This is the gayest Kermit's ever looked. Very flamboyant.
Waiting for it to load. Whoa, Rhinestone Cowboy.
This is like Dolly Parton country.
This is Dolly country for sure.
I don't know that I would dress Kermit in this option. Not that I have a problem with gay people. I'm just saying like...
Imagine if you're like...
not that I have a problem with this, but it doesn't feel... Him and Ralph feel disjointed.
Yes, country music does not inherently feel Muppet to me. Muppet.
Should have put the jug band on the cover.
Yeah, I guess they don't have the branding power in 85. You know,
they have Kermit and Ralph.
Even Ralph, I feel like, kind of treads lightly on being, you know, one of the more iconic Muppets. I understand his history with the Muppets, but I feel like, you'd want to have Kermit on here for sure.
You have to have Kermit.
Like, the branding of the Muppets by then. Oh, this is a fucking special, Megan, that basically is snippets from the show.
Yeah, I just watched. I'm just looking at
Barnyard
this.
Boogie.
Lou is in here, for
yeah,
sure.
Here's a clip from Shirley Bassey's episode 504.
Who's Crystal Gale? Look, we did this episode, and I don't even remember. What a Gale.
From Loretta Lynn's episode.
A chicken western, Petulia Clark. This is from two, ending edit, two episode 220.
Ruth Buzzy, Mac Davis, Roy Clark. Yeah, this looks like a video special that was just published.
Pretty cool. I'm into it. Wow, there's Kate a lot Ballard. Of stuff on here.
Wow, looking through this, it's like, wow, look, a walk down memory lane of doing this show.
I know, and it's like, wow, I forgot.
A lot of Mac Davis.
A lot of these guests.
The Mac Davis episode I remember being mid as hell also. Like, wow, they really just edited all of those bits together and made a video. Crazy.
Why not? Those short shorts on Mac Davis, right? Is he the guy with the short shorts?
Yes, he was in like the underwater or something
Big
or other.
Mac Davis. All right, let's get back to the gunslingers.
Yeah. Okay. WHOG has taken over the backstage area, which is cluttered with wires.
W-H-O-G. I love it.
Oh.
It's just hog.
Which is cluttered with wires and equipment. Fozzie snags his neck on a wire and has to postpone his monologue. Kermit meets the bossy Big Tiny Tall Saddle, who takes command of the show.
Big Tiny has real hands.
This guy
right?
freaks the fuck out of me.
Those
he definitely
are real
has
hands?
Real hands.
Okay.
His eyes have no soul, but they're so, like, I don't know, they're, like, piercing. And his facial hair gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't know. Everything about this guy, it leaves
the
me
The eyebrows
unsettled.
Really shape his eye.
He is so unsettling to me. I don't know.
I like his orange cowboy hat.
I do like his hat.
The cape makes me think he's, you know what he's dressed as? He's dressed as a WWE wrestler to me.
Oh my God. He looks like Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah.
Yes. It, like, you know, if he put up his arms right, you could see that they probably have fringe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially and he does have a white jacket on too.
And this green, like, tinsely looking stuff
Maybe
around him.
Maybe this is him. Where Macho Man got his look from.
Could you
from
imagine?
From Big Tiny.
When did Macho Man...
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh no, Macho Man had a gold jacket. Why did
I'm just curious
he
when
jacket?
He premiered.
He must have had a white jacket at one time.
His character.
Nope, it's definitely not a white jacket. Wow, my memory sucks.
Your memory's not serving you well.
Mm-mm. No, it's like yellow and very like 80s colors. Black. Oh, I like this Hulk Hogan one he's dressed at. Oh. He's dressed for McDonald's, but it's Macho Man. This one's pretty cool. Oh, there's a biography coming out about him. Macho Man. Do I do a good impression?
You do a very good impression.
That neck. Okay, I definitely had this toy. Or a toy like it with these pants.
Oh, I definitely had those toys too. My grandmother's neighbor... okay, so Macho Man Randy Savage premiered in 1985, so he very well could have stolen his look from
Big Tiny.
Big Tiny Tall Saddle.
He definitely did, with the cape and everything.
I definitely had one of those action figures, too. My grandparents' next-door neighbors, when I was a kid, gave them, like, a box of old wrestling figures for me and my brother when we were, like, little kids.
I know exactly what that box looks like with them
like
all
those,
on top of each other.
Uh-huh, and it was those guys that
and
are all,
and some of
like,
the clothes are rubbed off.
Made of that hard rubber.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they just look, like, flesh-colored.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know exactly that. Actually, you know what I was thinking? And this is totally random. On the way here, I was thinking, do you remember what Carter Drugs smelled like?
No.
Okay.
Carter Drugs was the one over where Quick Check is now?
Yeah, it
smelled... Or that area?
It smelled, like, very old. Like, you never smell that old smell anymore. Because, mm-hmm. like...
I wonder if it smells like Woodlane smelled. You know, like, if I probably could, like, remember
it
what Woodlane smelled like.
Similar to Woodlane.
You know, I feel like you're Carter Drugs, I'm Woodlane. You're also kind of Woodlane, too.
Definitely
but,
Woodlane.
You know, like...
My mom used to work at the hair salon right next to Woodlane.
My Aunt Jennifer used to work at Woodlane. And I think she cut hair once upon a time at that salon also.
Do you remember what it was called?
Like a minute. The salon?
Yeah.
No.
Should I tell you?
Yeah.
Vinny of Italy.
Vinny of Italy. Damn. Big Tiny takes the stage with fanfare from the Singers and introduces Johnny Cash, an old buddy of mine. I have to say, the Singers, I love that. WHOG.
I love these ladies.
I really liked that a lot. I thought that was fun. And it reminds me of, this is stupid, reminds me of Grease. Remember when, like, the principal would talk? Was she the principal? And her assistant would do the dung, dung, dung.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that. I just did NBC, but you know what I mean, on the xylophone.
You go NBC.
It reminded me a lot of that.
Well, this is of that era, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is supposed to all be like that same...
Or at least it's nostalgic for that same era.
Yeah.
Right? That the idea that this radio show feels very 50s to us, and Grease is probably just around the corner, or maybe already had come out by then.
It's like everyone's... It's like no one's at war. Well, Pop's home from the war, and...
Grease is from 78, so yeah, it's all around that same era.
The 50s... Mm-hmm. Mom's back in the kitchen.
They say nostalgia runs in a 20-year cycle. So, like, right
I
now...
I feel like it's gotten faster, though, with social. It has gotten faster.
But we're dealing with people right now. You look in a lot of fashion trends that were cool when we were in high school. You know, for better or worse.
Well, I know. They brought back JNCO jeans. Uh-huh. And that wasn't in high school. We were middle school when those jeans were cool.
But, you know, that, like, from 20 years ago, 2004, 2003, whatever, that era. I think they call it Y2K. In some cases.
Yeah, in some cases, Y2K with silver is back, things mm-hmm. like that. But I think it's even earlier than that. I don't know. I think the trend cycles are, like, kind of screwed up. I am seeing in luxury, like, Chanel just came out with these ads where they had these women wearing big hats for spring. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, my God, please, let's go back to the fucking 20s and the 40s and bring back hats. I want people to start wearing hats again. Like,
yeah, why don't people wear hats like that?
Like, not just caps.
No, you're talking about, like, yeah. Like, hats.
An interesting hat,
A fascinator.
Yeah. Why? We stopped wearing them. Hats are so cool.
Uh-huh.
And they protect you from the weather.
Yeah.
And they really, you know. Carmen Sandiego wears that cool hat.
No one knows where she is.
No one knows where she is.
It's stealth.
It is stealth.
Waldo wears a hat.
The Hamburglar stealth. Has a hat.
Stealth.
Zorro.
Okay. Wow. Stealth. Even, right? Okay.
Right?
So you don't want to be seen. Wear a hat.
Wear a hat.
Wear a hat.
Yeah.
On stage, Johnny sings Riders in the Sky while Gonzo rides around the stage on a herd of cows as an outlaw. So this episode, we didn't say, had a warning in the beginning. And was the warning simply because there are Confederate flags all over this
episode? It not only had a warning, but sometimes the warning just flashes up. And other times, for whatever reason, the warning sits.
Yes.
And the warning in this one sat for a while.
To the point where I watched it. I put it on. And I think I was, like, cooking yesterday when I watched it again.
Still on.
And I, like, turn and I'm like, and it has a little counter. And it's like, 6. Fine.
Yeah, yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
like, okay, we get it.
Yeah, it's something's offensive in this episode. Mm-hmm. We get it. But I guess because it's more than a gong,
mm-hmm.
you know?
But it's so funny because I really think about how when we started doing this, the episodes were announced that they were going to be on Disney Plus, and it was like, oh, and 3 of them have warnings because they're insensitive. And we're like, oh, interesting. And now we've hit well more than 3.
Oh,
I can't
well
even
more
imagine
than 3, yeah.
how many episodes from before they started really adding these.
It's such a shame that, like, so many cool-looking flags are, you know, represent, like, shit. No, this is a cool design.
The Confederate flag is a cool design.
It's just, like...
No, you're absolutely right.
I mean, the Union Jack is, like, used as, like, a design.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure people are offended by that flag.
I would imagine, right? Like, yeah. And, I mean, growing up as a child who was forced to watch Dukes of Hazzard reruns, I know this is a flag of cool. You know.
Oh, definitely. And it represents that Southern rock.
Yes. Yeah. It's
Southern rock.
You'd see this in a Skynyrd concert.
I'm not talking about slavery. I'm talking about Southern rock.
Well, then, yeah, now it's been co-opted again by, like, these, like, you know, white supremacists who are like, it's about our heritage. And it's like, what heritage? The Confederacy lasted for 4 years. And then you're like, oh, you love the Confederacy. Why? And they're like, oh, it's about states' rights. States' rights to do what?
Mm-hmm.
My guy. Rights to do what?
I know.
And they're like, it's not all about slavery. And I'm like,
But it's
a lot of it is.
But sort of really does lead back.
A lot of it is
to making money.
Yeah.
Based on people not making any money and treating them like lesser than.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Exactly. Mm. Johnny Cash killed it though.
Johnny Cash.
And I do love Writers in the Sky.
I have to say, his voice. I can't believe how much I love his voice. Like I have albums by him and like.
Mm-hmm.
But watching him sing and, like, be there and, like, his stage presence.
His timbre and everything, yes, too.
Timbre.
Is like, oh you
nice.
Know, like, I don't know. I can't imitate it, but
it's so fucking good.
So unique, so impressive. It's really like, surprising because he does sing with that kind of almost brown note
timbre. Well, I also feel like if they were to send music out in space, like American music, like he should definitely be on the mix CD that they make.
Yeah.
They're going to send a mix CD, right? That's the only way you can send music to space.
Yeah, well, a CD and like just a CDR. We don't, you know, we can't do MP3 CDs. That's too much. We need a solid set list of like 20 songs and it's got like this on it. It's got like the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy.
First of all, there's no way in hell that you can fit 20 songs on an at-home burnt CD. You need to like buy it from the store. Like, you can buy a CD with 20 songs on it, but you can't make a CD with 20 songs on
it. You can't?
When have you made a CD with 20 songs on it that weren't, like, Bikini Kill songs, which are, like, 2 minutes long?
That are a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I feel like... Do you think, really, just 20 songs, that's it? Maybe you're right. I don't know. It's been a long time since I burnt a CD. A really long
time. Well, I just did, like, a reprise of all the CD, like, of the CDs that I still have, and I've been listening, and, like, of course, the MP3s CDs I have, there's, like, 150, 60 songs on them, but the burnt CDs I have, like, there's really no more than, like, 18 is the, I guess 18 is, like, the highest, I think.
Yeah.
So that's almost 20.
I'll
give it to
you. None of them better be a Coheed song, because, like, you'll get killed.
No. And then they have, like, the secret song in the end.
Yeah. No.
No.
It's not going to cut it.
No.
I just was made privy to a record store in our general area. I don't know. They're called Yearbook Records. But apparently they make mix CDs. And you can go buy like their mix CD that they have of like, this is their February mix or whatever.
I don't care that people come up with like the cool ideas that I want to do. And they do them because they're just cooler than me.
I don't have a disc burner, but I would do that. Why not? That'd be so fucking cool.
I don't have like a crowd of people to give CDs to.
Well, you could do it at my shop.
What, am I going to give it to you?
Why not? Yeah. But they sell them. That's why I didn't want to like shout it out. Because that's probably weird, right?
Well, yeah, I guess you,
Like, I don't know that you're allowed to just like make CDs and distribute them.
Or maybe it's a donation.
Probably.
And then you get a mix CD.
And it's just like DIY as hell. It's pretty
cool. It is DIY. That's what I feel like. I was talking to a colleague of mine the other day and I was like, I always love DIY culture, and I feel like that's what podcasting is now. Like, there's no fanzines anymore. I mean, popular fanzines.
Yeah.
There are some, of course. But, like, podcasting is, like, the new fanzine.
Yeah. It's, like, the closest you can get with, right? Like,
so it's total DIY.
Yeah.
I love.
Kermit tries to take control of the show, but Big Tiny heckles him by making him jump with hot marbles. Jump with hot marbles. I'm like, I have no idea. Oh, I remember this now. Big Tiny has his little assistant.
How is Chucky Finster holding the hot marble bucket?
I don't know.
That bucket is also hot.
Oh, yeah, because it's made of, like, what is that? Like, ionized steel, something like that, right? Like, this galvanized, I mean. It's galvanized.
Totally warm as hell.
It's your totally warm as hell. If it's enough to burn Kermit's little tootsies... It's definitely going to burn this.
Yeah, but I do have to say, I love that they made him jump like a frog.
Mm-hmm.
Frog jumper.
Yeah.
Good for you, Kermit. You deserve it sometimes.
Backstage, Johnny observes that Big Tiny Tall Saddle is as tough as a 25-cent steak. This is just like a little aside.
Yeah, well, I mean, like a 25-cent steak. That feels like an old joke.
Yeah.
Because it's
I'm a vegetarian, so I don't even understand what they're talking about.
Steak should cost more than 25 cents.
I wonder, a 25-cent steak. What do you think? Adjusted for inflation, we're like, he's as tough as a $3 steak.
Definitely.
Actually, can you look that up? Adjust for inflation. 1981. 25 cents. And let's redo this joke and see if it's funnier.
Well, should we do it like 1951? Because they think that they're in the 50s.
That the joke. Okay, so the joke is as outdated. No, but I don't know.
I think the joke is outdated.
You think the joke is outdated then? All right,
let's cut it in the middle and let's do... You want to do 1970?
Okay, fine.
1970.
Okay.
And now deliver it to me as a joke.
Oh, I don't remember what we're talking about.
You have to say...
Oh, yeah.
You have to say, big, tiny, tall saddle is as tough as a...
$2.04 steak. I don't believe it. I feel like it's higher.
$2.04 steak. Yeah. The specifics of the 4 cents. I really like that. $2.04 steak.
All right. Now I have to see how much 25 cent was in
81.
First, we're going to do 51.
Okay.
$3.04. And then now we
wow. Love the 4 cents. That hung on.
I don't know what the 4 cents is all about. 89 cents. He's as tough as an 89 cent steak. Actually, I like that one better.
I was going to say 89 cents is funnier.
I think it's funnier. I think you were funnier. Right to go with 81.
89 cents is a funnier Doug. Joke.
During the UK spot, after Big Tiny threatens Kermit, Lou Zealand and the Gills Brothers sing "Goodnight Sardine." I like Lou being Lou. It's like a part of the show.
And he sang a song.
He's singing a song.
And I really did like that. However,
mm-hmm.
they have done so many Beatles songs mm-hmm. on this show, and John Lennon was like obsessed with like American country music and Americana, and they have like down in the back hills there lived a man named Buffalo Bill.
Uh huh.
You know the song?
No. You always say you're a Beatles house versus a Rolling Stones house. I was a Billy Joel house. I know that that doesn't factor into the maths that you present, but I was a Billy Joel house. So I don't know much of those, like, Beatles B-sides.
Oh, yeah, the continuing story of Bungalow Bill.
Okay.
And it goes, hold on. It's going to give me a commercial.
Well, okay, so this song, Goodnight Irene, being spoofed here, called Goodnight Sardine, the popular version of the traditional American folk song is attributed to Lead Belly, who claims he learned it from his uncle. John Lomax recorded Lead Belly singing the song in 1936. He and Lead Belly are the legal authors. It is made popular by the Weavers in 1950 and with slightly altered lyrics.
Dude, Lead Belly
has been recorded numerous times.
Has an amazing voice, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard of
Lead
Belly.
I'll do Lead Belly next, but... Wait, is this... I don't think this is what I'm trying to do. I think I'm trying to do...
Are you thinking of Rocky Raccoon?
I think I am thinking of Rocky Raccoon. See, you even have...
I know all your references, Megan. This is the 130th episode.
But the thing is they do, like... Rocky Raccoon has, like, a little bit of, like, a... like a thing.
And that's...
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about.
Is this Rocky Raccoon?
Right.
Somewhere in the black mining hills of Dakota, there lived a young
boy. Oh, he's doing Bob Dylan.
And one day his woman ran off with another guy, hitting young Rocky in the eye.
Rocky didn't like that.
He said, I'm going to get that boy. So one day he walked into town, booked himself a room in the local saloon.
Here's the part.
Rocky Raccoon checked into his room.
Switches singers now. Okay, I'm done.
Goodnight Sardine.
But I feel like they should have done that. But Lead Belly, actually, mm-hmm. he, my friend, is, he has this one song. Let's see if I can get a good song. House of the Rising Sun. Let's say this.
There is a house in New Orleans.
You know where I think they mentioned Lead... You know how I probably know of Lead Belly is from Ghost World. I think they...
Oh, maybe. That would make sense.
I
like,
think that
in,
Steve
like, some
Buscemi,
of the record collection
yeah,
scenes.
Like, collects...
Okay.
That movie.
I haven't watched that movie in a long time. That movie is very good, but I think it suffers from having a very strong first act.
and a depressing, then a
very depressing middle and ending. Like, yeah, it's just like it gets depressing and weird. So it's not as fun. It's so front loaded with like quotes and like fun weirdness and like little odd and moments
and
shit.
And it sucks you in, and then it takes you on a dark.
And then it just, exactly, it takes you on like a dark ride where you're like, ooh.
So by the time you're done watching it, and you're like seeing her on the bench with the waiting for the bus.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's a lot. I should read Ghost
and
World.
Steve Buscemi, like, such a tragic character. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It's a lot. But, yeah, if you read it, let me know how it is. I'll read it, too.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how it reads versus the movie, you know?
All right, so
I'm going back now to
UK the spot. They brought some lead belly to the United Kingdom.
I really love the idea of New Zealand singing with some fish instead of just simply throwing them.
I watched a documentary the other day called The Windrush, and it was about the boat that took a bunch of men, folks from Jamaica and like the West Indies to London. So, you know that England actually recruited people in Jamaica, and they were like, fight for the motherland, blah 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 blah, and so many men stepped up and actually fought for the United Kingdom in World War II. I had no idea.
Like,
very cool. And then they were like, in some cases, the first time a lot of people saw black people in England. And they were somewhat welcoming towards black people. And these people spoke English, you know what I mean?
They're
you should see. And then after the war, they went home for a little bit. And then they ended up coming back to help rebuild the city because it had been bombed so many times. And people went ballistic. And like, it's crazy. It's so crazy to see, because you know what happens like in this country with racism and slavery here and things like that, and it's a little different over here, but over there, but it's like, it's still, there's so much tension, and yet it's like it comes back to like the same fucking thing. It's like the racial bullshit.
Yeah.
But it was a very good documentary.
Is this a newer documentary?
No, it was on the BBC.
Oh, okay.
But I think it came out in 1998, actually.
Oh, wow.
Old documentary.
Yeah.
And they had people who actually fought in the war.
Cool.
They interviewed. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, it was amazing.
That's like the beauty of a documentary from 30 years ago, right? That like you can, you know what I mean? I know.
Ew.
Fozzie is about to perform, but learns that he has competition. Oh, sorry, wait, we skipped a part. Johnny sings Dirty Old Egg-Sucking Dog, an anti-canine song that infuriates Rolf. I like this. Rolf was like, oh, can I accompany you on piano? And Johnny Cash was like, no, I really don't think I need
Rolf
that.
Rolf didn't take no for an answer.
And Rolf was like, no, it's no big deal. I won't, no big deal. He's like, all right, fine.
This is some weird Jim Henson sense of humor stuff, I feel like.
Dirty Old Egg-Sucking Dog is a Johnny Cash song recorded in 1967. Wow. I'm really surprised. I've never heard this before in any capacity.
Sounds like a B-side, to be fair.
It definitely sounds like a B-side that is only presented on this song, on the show, because there is a dog to offend.
Yeah. This is okay. I felt bad for him, and I was like,
for Rolf?
Yeah, and I was like, Johnny, you really don't like dogs? And then I'm like, do dogs suck eggs? Like, where did that come from?
The expression sucking eggs is so funny to me. I wish people would bring that back.
Suck eggs.
Oh man, that totally
sucks
eggs.
All right, let's just bring it. Just bring it back. We'll bring it back.
We'll do it. Okay.
We'll do it.
Let's make a concerted effort on this show to say when things suck eggs or not.
And by the time we go see Start Making Sense on April 6th in Asbury Park, we're going to, like, spread it to the Asbury community.
We'll be like, oh, man, that... Oh, I hate to say it, but, like, that opening act sucked eggs. Can you believe it? Fozzie is about to perform, but he learns he has competition. Wally Whoopi. While Fozzie tries to do his routine, he's continually heckled by Wally Whoopi.
Looks
Wally
familiar,
Whoopi,
doesn't he?
He sure does.
He looks like Conan. Not Conan.
I'm like, Conan?
No, not Conan. The old... Oh my God, I looked this up the other day. Glasses. I'm going to look it up. This is what I have to look up.
Now I'm like so
nighttime talk hosts old.
Are you saying he looks like Johnny Carson? Mm-mm. I don't think he looks like Carson.
No. Glasses, curly hair.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What the fuck is this guy's name? Literally when I watched this, I looked it up and I was like, I have to remember this guy's name. But God forbid my brain lets me remember anything.
Talk it out. You'll get there. Do you think that performer sucks eggs?
David Letterman.
He looks like David Letterman?
He
does look like David Letterman.
Yeah, he is David Letterman.
He looks like Letterman.
And I looked up like when David Letterman aired, and I'm pretty sure it's when David Letterman was like coming up.
Wow, so David Letterman stole his...
This is David Letterman.
David Letterman fully stole his whole look from Wally Whoopi, and Randy Savage stole his whole look from Big Tiny Tall Saddle. Crazy. This episode is legendary.
It is. So he started The Tonight Show in 1982.
Okay.
So this is from...
This episode's from 81.
Oh, okay.
So that's perfect.
Well, maybe he was
Megan,
like an up-and-coming comic. Yeah.
And he stole his whole look from this character.
I'm like, not Conan. Conan.
The Simpsons writer? Kermit, having had enough of Big Tiny's bossiness, stands up for Fozzie and his show. Scooter helps him get rid of Big Tiny with an elaborate fib. Scooter tells Tiny that his horse, some rough kids outside are letting the air out of his horse.
I thought that was very funny.
Very funny. And then Kermit...
Scooter came in.
I don't know. I like this next bit, too. It's not even listed on the wiki, but I have to mention it. I'd be, you know. Kermit's like, Scooter, that was really good, quick thinking. And he's like, I have to thank you so much. He says something to the effect of, like, I don't know what I could possibly do to thank you.
Yeah.
And Scooter says, a little cash couldn't
hurt.
Yeah. And Kermit, ever the quick thinker, goes, you're right. We all could use a little bit of cash. Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
And Scooter's like, excuse me, wait, no. And he's like following him out. And
it was a great setup.
A great setup.
It was like perfect.
Especially with that old, you know, that fucking old joke where like, I think people just update it every couple years now where it's like 20 years ago we had Johnny Cash, Bill Gates isn't involved. We had Johnny Cash,
or is
Steve
he?
Jobs.
Conspiracy theories.
Johnny Cash, Steve Jobs. I don't know, but
Who
the punchline
else?
Is we have no cash, no jobs, no hope, whatever. God, there's another name. Bob Hope. It's fucking Hope. Bob Hope. Yeah, fucking Bob Hope. We have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny sings a duet of Orange Blossom Special / Jackson with Miss Piggy, backed by Lou Bach Lou and his Jug Huggers. This fucking boots the house down. What do I say, man?
Yes, yes, it is boots the house down. The house down boots. This is so good.
Yes.
I love the Jug Hugger Band.
It was like full of charm.
Lubach Lou is the bomb.
And everything. It was so good. I really loved Piggy coming in and doing like June Carter
style. You think
they'll
style
get their
own show? Because the Mayhem did? Are they going to do another band?
No. I'm really surprised that they weren't.
Country music is so big right now.
I'm really surprised that they weren't featured in the Mayhem thing at all. When it's like, there could have been an easy, like, nice setup. They could have been in the first 2 minutes of the episode, of the first episode, where they say, the number one most beloved Muppets band finally has their own TV show. You cut to Lubach Lou and the Jug Huggers, and they're like, yeah! And they're like, no, not that one. And they go back to the Electric Mayhem.
Doug.
Why can't we
hire
punch up
Doug?
Things? We need to be able to punch up things that already happened.
I know, and that's so much better than, like, all the Nora stuff and... All those people.
Let's cut out some of the Nora stuff and just like
Let's
edit
redo
and
it.
Post some Lubach Lou content.
Wait, don't directors do that? Hasn't that been done? Didn't
Release
they do
the
that
Snyder
to, like,
cut.
A Batman and
yeah.
something? Yeah.
So now at closing, Big Tiny needs to borrow a bicycle pump. Big Tiny comes back in. I love that too. And he's like, and they're like, hey, we don't want no trouble. And he's like, I'm just looking for a bicycle pump. I got to refill my horse.
I love that. Piggy looks like she should be in this outfit.
Yes.
With the purple
I completely
hat
agree with you. And the teal, like, the teal ascot, she's got some fringe going on. She looks cool as shit.
But, like, Johnny Cash has a purple bandana around his neck with that black suit. And, I mean, he looks like he could be cruising in Central Park. I'm not going to lie. He's going to go for a walk later in the park.
He You used to go for a walk in the park?
That's what gay men used to do.
Oh.
They used to go for walks in the park.
Uh-huh.
Like, guys to have sex with other guys, it's so easy. You know how hard it is to pick up a woman as a woman? Like, it's so hard. I mean, for me, obviously, I'm not, like, a stunner. But, like...
Megan.
But, like... Oh, come on. But it's so easy. I mean, like, all you have to do is give a look or stick your dick through a hole in a bathroom stall. There's nowhere I can put my boob and be like, what's
hey,
up?
You
like this?
Wait till you see what else is on the other side. So the notes, this episode is the, this is the, in our notes here, I need to recompose myself. In the notes here, this is the only episode where the stage setting is the same throughout the entire episode. I did notice that. It's this cool, like, burnt out barn with, like, these cool hay bales and all this stuff, right?
I like that, though. I really liked it a lot.
Cash's duet with Miss Piggy on Jackson is one of the only recorded occasions where he performed the song with someone other than his wife, June Carter. How fucking cool is that?
And it's Frank Oz.
Wow, Frank Oz, Master of Puppets.
But, like, it's so crazy because when Frank is Piggy, I believe him.
He's Miss Piggy.
He's a woman.
He's a woman. Yeah.
And I, yeah, I'll talk next.
Dude looks like that. A lady.
But he's more than a lady. I
all
wonder
around.
If Frank, I wonder if, like, I know Frank's a very serious person, but I wonder if, like, for his kids or his wife, she's like, do Piggy for me, Frank. Or, like, if Frank sees people, like, acting as the Muppets that he's once played, and he's like, they don't sound like that. And
that's
he's like,
rotten.
They sound like this. And then he, like, does Fozzie.
I wonder if
or,
he ever did that.
Yeah, or Animal or Piggy. I mean, his Twitter used to be shady sounding. Used to be with the Muppets. Anyway.
All around an incredibly fun episode.
Great episode.
You ready for the plot for next week's episode?
Yeah, give it to me.
All right, next week we'll be watching the Buddy Rich episode, episode 522. Thanks to Gonzo's air-conditioned mildew collection, the power goes out in the theater, and Beauregard almost electrocutes himself trying to fix it. Half of the acts have to perform in the dark until... Dr. Bunsen Honeydew hooks up a generator that runs on beaker power.
What a genius he is.
Beaker runs on a huge wheel to generate power, and when he gets tired, Bunsen helps motivate him by releasing an angry tiger onto the wheel. Again, with the Muppet Wiki with spoilers.
I was just
going to
say, why would
episode.
They spoil it? I mean, that's like the main thing that happens.
Basically.
Not
all right,
that I watched it.
Our calls to action for this week... Watch the Buddy Rich episode.
Message us.
Leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts. And follow us on social media at ITTWTM. And until next week.
Thanks for the gumball, Johnny.